Good evening.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm well. I'm good.
You good?
Yeah.
All right. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. We just also had another person join. God bless you.
Yeah, bless.
I believe that's
how
Sister Hawanda.
Yep. All right. How are you?
Good. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, you don't sound very well, though, Sister Tina.
I'm
going to be okay. I'm getting up. I was laying down. I'm getting up.
Oh, okay. All right. But your spirit is okay, right?
Yeah, I got faith in God. So whatever's meant to be will happen because he got it. So. Nothing works without that. So
it surely
this is a safe place.
That's right.
You want to talk about it? There's only the three of us so far. Well, now the fourth. Praise the Lord. I have a Sister Bell or Arlea Bell that just joined.
Yes. AKA Jewel McIntosh.
AKA Jewel McIntosh. Sister Jewel, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Wonderful. Yeah, it's good to hear your voice.
Thank you. Yours as well.
Thank you so much. We were just discussing, we have Sister Jewel, we have Sister Itina here so far, and Sister Hawanda here. They are all part of New Covenant Church of Christ. And we were just talking with Sister Itina and asking her, did she want to share anything? Is there anything we need to pray for, Itina?
Yeah, just pray for me that God give me strength to deal with what I'm dealing with.
Amen.
Amen.
We're going to deal with that immediately, so I'm going to ask Sister Hawanda to pray for you about strength.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. We just say thank you. We just say thank you. We say, just tell you thank you, Abba, our Father. Hallelujah. Knowing that you have the answer for everything. And we have Sister Itina here. We call out her name to you as we all stand in agreement because you say, two or more are gathered in your name, that you are also in the midst. So I pray right now that you be with her, and not only that you give her strength, that you give her peace that surpasses all understanding, that you touch her from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet. Hallelujah. That you remove anything. Remove the spirit of doubt, hallelujah, knowing that she already have exactly what she needs. That anything that will have her to think that victory is not already hers because you paid it all for her. So just remind her of the word and what you already told her. Remind her of who she is in you, that greater is he that is in her than he that is in the world. So I thank you that you have brought us together and we come together in unity and in love and on one accord on her behalf, hallelujah, that we let the devil know that you have no dominion, no power, and you get no victory or no glory in this situation, and that this too shall pass, hallelujah, that she will come through with a testimony and give you glory for what you are doing and what you are about to do on her behalf. So
yes,
I pray
God.
Right now that you remove anything that will hinder her from opening her mouth and that will like to keep her mouth shut from being able
yes.
to do whatever the thing is, knowing that this is a safe place, hallelujah, and that we're going to hold her up in love. And that we're
yes,
going to be
God.
There for her. And that we are a family. Hallelujah. And that she is not
hallelujah.
Alone. Hallelujah.
Thank
you. Only are
Thank
we
you.
Here for her, but you are here for her. You said you will never
yes,
leave her nor forsake her. Hallelujah.
Yes,
so I
hallelujah.
Thank you for making your presence known in her
thank
life
you.
Like never before. I thank
you
for
Jesus.
Encouraging her. I thank you for wrapping your loving
thank
arms
you.
Around her. Hallelujah.
Thank
I thank you that you said the prayers of the righteous.
Mm-hmm.
availeth much,
yes.
hallelujah, and that the
hallelujah.
Prayer is already
hallelujah.
Being answered, that the weight
hallelujah.
Is already lifting off of her, that her mind
thank
is
you,
already
Jesus.
Being transformed,
yes,
hallelujah,
God.
To know what her portion is, and that she gets to speak over that thing,
thank
hallelujah,
you,
so right now, she will begin to
yes,
speak
God.
Those things that were not as
thank
though
you,
they
Jesus.
Were, hallelujah, so she won't
thank
be... She won't focus on what it looks like. Hallelujah. She won't focus
thank
on what it
Jesus.
Sounds like, what it tastes like. Hallelujah.
Thank
what the
Lord.
Report
thank
of
Jesus.
Anybody else's is, but what your report is. You said you,
yes,
you came that we may have life and that more abundantly. So anything that will hinder us from speaking life, hallelujah, we tell
yes,
it to
God.
Go where it needs to go because it has no dominion
well,
or power in our life.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So we
hallelujah.
Say thank you for
hallelujah.
What you are doing in her life
hallelujah.
Right now. And not only in her, but that you touch anybody connected to the situation. Hallelujah.
Yes,
that you be a lawyer in the courtroom, that you be a doctor in the sick room, that you be a
yes,
friend
God.
That is closer than any brother
yes,
in her situation.
Yes, God.
Hallelujah.
Thank
so
you,
we
Lord.
Just thank
you
for the
you,
reminder.
Jesus.
And I thank you that we came in agreement
you,
with her,
yes,
with her
God.
Prayer already that she has for her for herself. And that strength like no other.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank
so
you.
I thank
hallelujah.
You for making her stronger. I thank you for making her wiser. And I thank
yes,
you for making
God.
Her better and better
thank
and better.
You, Jesus.
Ah, for that alone,
in
we give you glory,
Jesus.
Honor, and praise that we come together in, as individuals and corporately and say it is so and that it is already
it
done.
It is so.
In your son,
already
mighty
done.
Name.
Already done. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise
the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Somebody ought to just give God a little hand clap praise and tell him
yes.
thank you.
Yes.
Hey, hallelujah. Coming and it's coming. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Glory
to God.
Glory
to God.
Glory, glory.
I believe that prayer hits somebody else besides Tina. Hallelujah.
Thank you,
I know it hit me.
Thank you,
praise
Jesus.
The Lord.
Yes,
God.
Yes, yes, yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We're going to go through
a
quick introduction and make sure that everybody is acknowledged. We have Brother Latif Wilson from La Crosse. Latif, you there?
Yes, I'm here, sir.
Amen. Good
Amen.
To know that you're here. Thank you for showing up. We have Brother Arnold Evans.
Yes, sir. How are you guys doing tonight?
Yes, sir.
Hello.
Are you talking to all
yes,
of us?
Yes.
So we all need to answer.
Everybody.
Thank you.
I think they scared to answer. Somebody say how you doing.
How you doing, brother?
How you doing?
Hallelujah.
How you doing?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hey, Brother DeJuan, God bless you. Thank you for being here.
Yes,
praise
good.
The Lord.
Good. Yes.
Anybody want to share anything before we get started? We're going to be in the book of Romans. We're going to be in the sixth chapter of the book of Romans. And for those of you that are new to the Bible study, we have been reading through the book of Acts. We are now in the book of Romans. We're going to go through this book. We're going to go to the next book and the next book. And one of the reasons that the Lord has led us this way is because the Lord has told me his people need to become like David and have a word in their heart so that they might not sin against him. So that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the word of God will hold up a standard against the enemy. But if there's no standard to hold up, then we don't have a complete army. And we need to have a complete army called the word of God. Amen. So
Amen.
That's where we are.
Amen.
We're in the book of Romans. We're in the sixth chapter today. Amen. If you want to grab your Bibles.
Hey, Pastor.
Yes, sir.
Hey, when did you want me to talk about that thing we talked about on the phone?
I'm sorry, say it again.
I said, when did you want us to talk about that? Well, me bring it up, because remember we talked on the phone and I told you about the stuff that I kind of learned.
We're going to let you get started in just a moment, but we're going to have corporate prayer now. We had individual prayer. We're going to have corporate prayer, and I'm going to put that responsibility, if I may, into...
Is T-Von here?
He'll be here shortly.
Okay.
I'm going to put that responsibility into Sister Jewel's hand, if I may.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, I just want to say thank you right now, God.
Thank you.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Father, first of all, we just want to say thank you, Lord God, for each and every one of us that had a mind to join this prayer line on tonight, Father. We say thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for each and every way
that we were able to join by landline, by wireless, whatever, Father God. We just want to say thank you
thank you right now,
Lord God.
Thank you.
Father, I want to thank you, Lord God. I just want to thank you. I want to praise your holy name for being the one and only true and living God. Father, I want to thank you, God, for each and every last one of us whose name was Jesus covered with his blood on the cross, God. I want to thank you right now, Lord God.
Father God,
if there's anybody that's on this line on tonight, God, that has unbelief, Father, I just ask you right now in the name of Jesus that you help unbelief on tonight, God, even if you just give faith the size of a mustard seed, we'll thank you, God, in the name of Jesus, and we'll praise you for it. We'll give you all the victory for it, God. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Lord God, I just want to thank you on tonight, Father, for life, God. I want to thank you for life, God. And then I just want to lift up each and every one of our loved ones that don't have defense right now to come before your throne of grace, God. We lift them up to you right now, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Father, we lift up each and every one of our enemies on tonight, God. We ask that you help them, God. We ask that
help
you bless them, God. Bless them in a mighty way, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, God, I ask that you touch each and every one of our children, each and every one of our grandchildren, each and every one of our siblings, God, each and every one of our friends, God, each and every one of our loved ones, each and every one of our blood relatives, each and every one of our family members, because they are not the same, God. We thank you on tonight, God.
Thank you, Father, I just praise you.
I praise you, God. Father,
I ask
that each and every person that's on this line, they preordained destiny, Father. I ask that you touch their mind. Show them clearly what their preordained destiny is, Father. Hold their hand, God, and pull them to it. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. And I give you all the glory for it, Father. And each and every weapon that will form against this prayer, I bind it in the pit of hell right now. And I seal it with the blood of Jesus, never to become undone. And I declare, I speak it to the atmosphere that is done, never to become undone. And I just want to say thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I love the done and never to be undone. I love it. Praise the Lord. God is so awesome. He
awesome. I think we have one more person to join us who just joined. There's a wireless caller from Madison, Wisconsin. I can't see your name, but I know that you're here.
Yes. Hey, y'all, Jeanette.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Jeanette. God bless you. How are you?
Hey.
Hey.
How about Randy? How are you doing, Bob?
I'm blessed and highly favored. No matter what the circumstances say, that's why I love the opening prayer today. You got to know you're blessed, because Satan will try to convince you that you're not. And if you allow him to convince you, then the Bible says, as a man or a woman thinketh in their heart, so are they. And if I can be convinced that I'm not blessed, then I'll not be blessed. Praise the Lord. And so I'm blessed regardless of the circumstances. Glory to God. Now, I'm going to give Lottie an opportunity. He wanted to come on Bible study and share some things. So, Brother Lottie, if you'd like to sort of kind of share what it was that you, what was in your heart.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Welcome, Sister Deborah. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you, Pastor Monroe.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Right back at you and multiply in the name
of
Jesus.
Thank you.
Are you okay? You ready to talk? You wanted to share some things?
Want to share some things?
No, ma'am. It was Lottie Wilson, Brother Wilson.
Oh, okay.
Hey, sorry about that. I was talking to my wife.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I don't want to, like, take up too much time for you guys, but ever since I got, you know, married and things like that, especially being a young man, being 30 years old, coming from my ways that I used to follow and live in the world, God has been opening up my eyes to a lot of things, and me understanding the Holy Spirit and understanding that it is Him and it's actually alive and it's with me at all times. There's a lot of times where I will try to be like, okay, well, Holy Spirit, please help me get some sort of understanding. And sometimes I'll kind of sit there and like things kind of pop in my head, and then I'll go and search for something, and then I get like some sort of like revelation on a lot of the problems that I've had. And, you know, I'm the type of person where I think every single day and I ponder in my mind, you know, what's the true root of the problem, especially, you know, being a young black male and, you know, being a young black male in America and then seeing, you know, how people grow up and understanding the root cause of, you know, the inner demons that we have. And so later down the line, I started really realizing that, you know, a lot of this stuff, when I really started digging deeper into spiritual warfare, you know, I'm going to try be as brief as I can, but like, I feel like what a lot of people should, and I feel like what would increase people's faith in God a little bit more is understanding that the Bible and science, they go hand to hand. They don't cancel each other out. So once I started realizing, you know, understanding what divine sight is and, you know, having bad eyes and having good eyes, understanding that the eyes are the gate. Because Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 says, my people are destroyed by the lack of knowledge, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. So when you don't really have that knowledge and you're not really looking at, because the thing is, you have to, in order to understand, you know, especially, you know, in the world that we live in that's so dominated by, you know, sexual promiscuity and things like that, you know, especially men and women, and you're not understanding because, like, we don't know our history, because people who don't know their history are doomed to repeat it. So I feel like we have to really, like, dig deep and understand, you know, who our parents were, because unfortunately, you know, scientifically speaking, genetically, it does get passed down, sins and patterns, like adultery, fornication, divorce, broken families, lying, pride, and so much more are passed down through family lines. And people don't understand that. And I feel like, you know, because me, you know, the stuff that I struggle with, you know, learning more about my father and his, you know, inner demons and stuff like that has pushed me down the line for me to really think. I'm just like, why is it so hard for me to, you know, stop doing all the stuff that I used to do when I got so many generational curses that I have to fight that my father should have broke for me, but he didn't.
Yes,
so now I have to fight it for my son. So I'm looking, I'm learning, you know, behaviors, genetic, you know, understanding that. So basically what it says, and I'm going to try to be as brief as I can because I feel like this is very important, says whatever is passed down genetically can be triggered by the environment and can lie dormant if the environment permits it to be activated. So in layman's terms, what that means is all my sins that I go through from my father down to sexual, lying, you know, adultery, all these things that come from our parents who don't understand God, is that when it's passed down, do you know what cancels all that out? The environment. And what's the environment? The Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're not in those environments and you have the Bible, the environments aren't triggering those genetic sins that are passed down, because that's what the Bible does. The Bible cancels out everything. Right?
Glory to God.
So that's what really, you know, got me to really understand, because it's called epigenetics and stuff like that. And like I'm saying, science does not cancel out the Bible. It's just that the Bible, you know, explains it a little more differently, but it's all true. So I say again, too, you know, me, most men lust, right? You sit there and you, instead of having that environment that activates that genetic part of that child or something, and putting them in the environment of the church, the Bible, and around people of God, it doesn't activate. It's not active. It's not happening. Thus, not destroying the child. Right? So, and it's so much more, but that's basically what I wanted to share with you guys, because it's just important to really understand your history, your parents, everything that they've been through, because only the blood of Jesus can break all of these. And once you understand them, then you can start to pray directly at them, attack them, and break them, and then begin to mold and change your environment with the Bible, and then it cancels out all those things that you struggle with. So that's all I really have to say. I feel like I had to let you guys know that, but yeah.
Yes, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Amen. Thank you for sharing. Lati is one of my spiritual grandchildren. He's been on a journey, and the journey is getting closer and closer to revelation and insight. And I'm really very, very proud of you, Lati. Very proud. Brother Taban, God bless you. Thank you for joining.
Amen. Thank you for having me.
Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. We are in the book of Romans. If someone wanted to speak, if you do, let me know. No? Okay. Brother Taban, we are in the book of Romans. We are now in the sixth chapter.
Yes, sir.
Are you ready to read?
Yes, sir.
Almost there. 1 second.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, and we're going to go slowly. Say it again.
You said that's Lati?
Yeah, that was Lati. Yep.
Lati.
Wilson.
Angie Lati?
Yes, sir.
Oh, wow. What's up, Lati?
What's up, man?
you remember me, don't you?
I did. I actually asked about you before you got on.
Oh, okay. Okay. How you been?
Been good, man. Been good.
That's good. That's good.
Okay.
Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Amen. So we're going to the book of Romans. Thank you for joining. I got Felicia Collins. Just joined us. Please acknowledge yourself so we can hear your voice. Okay. Felicia is somebody else's phone name, I guess. The person that just joined less than a minute ago, please acknowledge yourself. Okay. You just joined. All right. We're going to keep going. Say it again. Praise the Lord. We're going to go ahead and go forward anyhow. So we're going to... for everyone, please turn your Bible to the book of Romans, the sixth chapter, because this is going to address some of what Lati opened up with. Glory to God. God has a plan, man. God is so smart.
Amen. Ridiculous.
We're going to touch on those things, and we're going to talk about them. Lati was talking about generational curses and how they're impacting many of our lives, and we don't think of it as that because... you don't think that what daddy did could be affecting you. But at the same time, there's often times that we sit back when we're amongst ourselves and go, I'm acting just like my mama. I'm acting just like my daddy. And don't catch that God is trying to teach us there's some generational things happening. And you can get rid of those generational things so that you can move forward and become the new creature that he is designing as you go. designing as you go. It's a beautiful thing to be an unfinished product in the hands of the potter. It is a It's all right to not be finished. That's why the Bible says Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, because we're on the potter's wheel, and he's shaping, he's molding, he's rearranging, he's dealing with our atoms, and he's dealing with our organs, he's dealing with our mentality, he's dealing with our social skill sets. He's dealing with a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
What he's dealing with you. So
amen.
It's good to be on the potter's wheel. Praise the Lord. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So we're going to go over to Romans 6. Tavon, if you'll be kind enough to read. And I want everybody to get this. You have your Bibles open. Say amen if you do.
Amen. That's it.
Mm-hmm. There's about 12 people here. I only heard 6 say amen. Everybody got a Bible? I listen real well. Be careful.
Oh, my.
All right. All right. Here we go. So now, if you've got your Bible open, I want you to get this. We talked about it last week, and so I want us to understand this. Until the year 1600, maybe a little bit before that, when they started doing the Gideon Bibles in the late 1500s, there were no numbers in the Bible. No numbers. So even though we're reading out of Romans 6, when they wrote this, it wasn't there. So a lot of what you'll see in the Bible is a continuation of what you read before. But if you don't know that, you'll compartmentalize. Okay, I'm in a new chapter, so this must be something different. And it's not. Because in all reality, the whole Bible is one single word for salvation. From Genesis to the book of Revelation, it's one single word that God put in front of us so we could have these changes while we're on the potter's wheel. Praise the Lord. Read verse 6, 1, verse 1 in chapter 6, please, so we can explain this.
Yes, sir. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid.
Stay right there. God forbid is enough. In other words, no. But I want you to go back to verse 17 in chapter 5 so that you can see why he's saying this, right? Here we go. Everybody got it?
Amen.
Amen.
Right? Let me make sure I get all of this for you. Okay. 16 and 17. Here we go. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation. He's talking about Adam. Mm-hmm. Adam's sin, talk about generational curses.
Mm-hmm.
Adam's sin is on everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Adam's sin is on everybody. That's why the Bible says you're born in sin. Because from Adam's mistake all the way to 2025, and we don't know when Adam was here, it could have been the year 8 million BC. Whatever it was, that one sin extended itself throughout all of time until we come to the point where we repent and come to Christ. So watch what he says. So not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace, talking about Christ, and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one. Then verse 18, therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men, right, to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Everybody got that?
Verse
19, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, the troubles, the issues, the sin might keep growing in us. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. He wiped out. He canceled out. He destroyed the destroyer. He went against everything that's going against you. He made his mind up that enough was enough with the devil, and he came and gave his life and said, get that mess up out of here. You can now be free of it all. Then he turns around in verse, now look at 6:1. He's, and this is why he continues by saying, okay, now that you know this, verse 6:1, what should we say then? Shall we continue in that sin that grace can continue to abound towards us? What's he saying? He's saying, there's a reason that some of us are still alive, even though our sin should have killed us.
Come on.
Now, I know it ain't nobody on the phone like that, but I can confess and be transparent. There were some things that I did in my lifetime before I knew Christ. I should have been dead a long time ago. Even historically, genetically, every one of my father's family, my father, his brothers, were all dead by the time they hit 55.
Jesus,
wow. The first one of the last name Monroe that has lived to be 71.
Praise God.
Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. And that's important for all of us, because if you don't catch that, you won't understand how you got through. You'll think you were smarter than folks. You won't understand why you got through. You'll think you outwitted your enemy. You won't understand what you've been brought through for. You'll think that you're just here to be here. And in all reality, if he helped you to escape, he helped you to escape so that you can come into your calling and begin to do the things that he's called you to do. Every person on this phone has something that God wants from you. And there's something that God wants for you. Glory to God. Everybody got that? So he says, what should we say there? Shall we continue to live the way we used to, that the grace can keep abounding? Because we keep escaping some stuff, and God is saying, you don't have to escape it anymore. I killed it for you.
Hallelujah.
You don't need to escape it. You need to figure out how to beat it. I already defeated it. Right?
Everybody get it? Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Here we go. All right, Romans 6:2. Go ahead, Brother Tavon, please.
What verse?
God forbid.
6:2.
Verse 2. Okay.
God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?
Get that mess out of here. Go ahead.
Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?
All right.
Therefore.
Stop right there. I said we're going to go slow today because there's some words I want people to write down, please. I hope and pray that you'll spiritually be obedient. Write these down. You'll need to look them up. So the word that he's talking about, baptized into his death, is the word, is the Hebrew word moth, M-O-T-H, like a moth. It's moth, right? The Hebrew word moth, which means for something to end, for a life or a thing to come to a halt. Got it? The word moth. So look it up. Okay, now go ahead. Baptized into his moth, his ending. Because when he ended, our lives really began. When we step into Christ, something happens. We die to self and awaken to him. We may not be perfect yet because we're still human. We're still souls. We still got some things that we need to learn and deal with. But we're new. Our light bulb came on for some reason. We start turning away from some things that we start with, that we realize this ain't good for me. This is not working. This is bad. And we become alive. Everybody got it?
Amen.
You're baptized into his mouth. If you haven't been baptized, get baptized. Praise the Lord. Go ahead.
Amen.
Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. mm-hmm. that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life.
Well, yes, sir.
For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we mm-hmm. shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection.
Hallelujah.
Knowing this,
Hallelujah.
That our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Stay right there for a moment. Stay right there. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Tim God. I want to make sure we get that. So watch what he says. He says that from this point on, we should not serve sin. Everybody mm-hmm. saw that?
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. So he did. I want to make sure you're with me. Didn't serve sin. He didn't say you shouldn't do a sin.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes mm-hmm. when we have sin still in our lives,
mm-hmm.
we get caught up and think we're not who he said we are. And you need to get that mess out of here.
Yeah.
Amen.
You're saved. You're no longer serving sin. You're fighting with it.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
I'm fighting Amen. With it. It's a difference.
Yes.
When you serve Amen. It, it has control. You don't fight with it. You do what it says to you. When
Amen.
You're serving, when you're serving it, it's completely, you are its servant. We're going to see mm-hmm. that too in the scripture. You're the servant yeah. of sin. When
Amen.
You come into this newness of life, mm-hmm. you begin to want not to do, which is the beginning of the fight. Glory to God. That's the beginning
Amen.
Of the fight. And God is with you through that fight. Go ahead, Brother Tabar.
For he that is dead.
Mm-hmm.
You want me to go back over that one again? Say that one again? Okay.
No, sir. I just that was just me and my enthusiasm for what God
Amen.
Did in my life. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
I heard that. For he that mm-hmm. is dead is freed from sin.
Hallelujah.
We be dead with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We believe that we shall also live with him.
Mm-hmm.
Stay there.
Knowing that Christ.
Stay right there. Okay. We're going slow. Stay there. Now let's
yes,
go
sir.
Back to verse 7. Everybody, please go back to verse 7. For he that is dead, that is not the word moth, that is the Hebrew word mavet, which
mm-hmm.
means to be dead and separated from God, and you haven't mm-hmm. ended yet. Mavet versus moth. Write it down. Go look it up, please. Mavet. That is the Hebrew word because what we're reading is a translation of the Hebrew and the Greek and the Aramaic. And some of the English words did not describe what the Hebrew and the Greek was trying to describe. So they came as close as they could to it. That's why a lot of times it's really, it's okay to study like ESV, NIV, and a lot of other Bibles, but every time they translate, they get a little further from the origin.
Mm-hmm.
The King James Version of the Bible is the closest mm-hmm. to the origin, and all it requires is a little bit of study. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
A little bit of study, and you'll get it. It'll become clear. So that word is Mavet, M-A-V-E-T-H.
M-A-V-E-T-H.
Well, he that is dead,
my bad.
Because you, because if you're dead, how do you get free from sin?
Mm-hmm.
So it can be both my bad, spiritually dead, and God frees you from the sin, and it can be mocked. Once you're dead, there ain't no more sin to do.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, amen. Let's keep going.
Well,
mm-hmm.
Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death has no more dominion over him.
Mm-hmm.
For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth, he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof.
Stay right there.
Neither yield.
You all see that in verse 12? Stay right there, please, Tomas. Sorry if I'm not getting to you fast enough. Everybody see that? Let not sin therefore reign, meaning ruling, be in charge.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It is no longer so. Therefore, don't let it be in charge. Tell it to get this mess out of here. It's not in charge anymore. You have a new master. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
That master has priority and preeminence. Preeminence means he's the first master. And if you go to him, no matter what you're dealing with, the first master has authority over the last master.
Amen.
He don't get to reign no more. Amen. Go ahead.
Reign me gone.
Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid.
I'm opening it up right now. What did he just say, and how do you receive that? I'm going to start with Sister Jewel. How did you just receive that? For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but you're now under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under that law, but under grace? God forbid. What do you think that's saying?
I think
no one will write after you. What do you
that
get from it?
It's when you say that I'm under grace, I feel like that's saying that when I became covered in the blood, it put me under the grace of God. So even though I don't deserve to be forgiven, or even though I do think that's wrong, grace is covering me. So that's just what I think.
That's beautiful.
Think.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. Anything else? Is that it, Sister Jewel?
I just want to thank God for his grace that covers me daily, and that's why I try to extend grace, and that's it.
Amen.
Yes, ma'am. Praise the Lord. Thank you, sister. Brother Latif, what do you think he just said?
So you're talking about the
14 and 15.
You're not bound by the law of the land. Basically, in my mind, I'm thinking that, you know, the demons, you know, Satan, you know, dwells on this plane of existence, you know, and I feel like once we, you know, have died, you know, through God, that we're not abide by that law that a lot of people are under when they're not in God. So therefore, we are freed from that law of the land that we're living under right now.
Very good. Thank you, Latif.
Yes,
Brother Arnold?
Yeah, I was going to say what that brother was saying. It's like, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law. Meaning, you're not under the law of the world. You are under grace. I would take it as grace as the covenant of God now.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Brother Dewan?
It's under grace. Grace is doing what God tells you to do, and doing everything in His and do everything you want correctly.
Okay, doing what God tells you to do.
Yeah.
And Arnold said, we're not under the law of the land. Brother Lachie said, we're not under the law of the land. Sister Jewel mentioned the law. And I think she was referring to the Hebrew Israelite law that was given to Moses for the people. Right? Just remember what everybody's saying. Let us go to, let's see, Sister Tina. Sister Tina, you there? Okay. We'll move on. Sister Hawanda. Sister Hawanda, you there?
Sir, yes, sir. I had it on mute because I got my grandbaby right here. I was talking and forgot to unmute. It brings me back to the word where you said my best, which means spiritually dead. So, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law. You're not spiritually. When you're spiritually dead, you basically, you know, under the law, but when you not when it comes into grace, that's like you receive the Holy Spirit. So that's what your covering is. But if we go a little bit more deeper, it's talk when it goes to the next scriptures in this Acts again, like, well, then shall we sin? Like, don't take His grace for granted either. You know, that's really what it says. You know, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Don't take for granted that I died for you. You know what I'm saying? And like you say, we fighting it, but make sure we fighting it and not giving in to it.
Amen.
Okay, that's it. Amen.
That's it? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Brother Tavon?
Yeah. That's a very good question, because I talk to brothers, right? And it's this sect, they call themselves the Hebrew Israelites. And they're real strict on themselves when it comes to the law of Moses. And by the way, that's what is referring to, the law of Moses, not the law of the land, but God's law. Because Jesus died for us because we couldn't keep His law. No one could keep His law. So He died for our sins. So now we are justified. And that's where the grace kicks in at. So grace comes through Christ. And he gave He's really here for all of us, like Pastor was talking about earlier. It's a lot of people that probably should have been dead or could have been dead a long time ago, but because of grace, they still have a chance. But this grace and being under the law is, I was trying to explain to the brother a couple weeks ago, actually. I think it's a misunderstanding, because they look at it as if you keep the law, you'll be saved. But no man can keep the law. It's impossible. Because if you break one, you broke the law, period. One law, all laws, it doesn't matter. So... this thing is not really dealing with salvation technically, because how can I say this? No, all man is technically is going to sin. No one is just sinless, if you understand what I'm saying, because we can read scripture that says no, you don't sin if you're in Christ. But that's where the grace kicks in. and like the my sister was just saying, when we're in the spirit, we're not under the law. But if we're not in the spirit, we are under the law. Well, they are under the law, to put it that way. But when it comes to salvation, we're a man or a woman in Christ is not under the law. If you're in Christ, you're not under the law. And that's how we are able to be saved. I don't know if I'm making sense. It's kind of hard to put it in.
You are making all the sense in the world. Keep going.
That's kind of what I was getting at.
Exactly, yes. So like the Hebrew Israelite brother I was talking to, you know, God knows the ones that love him because they keep his commands. And they try to put that into keeping the law for lack of understanding. Of course we should keep his commands. But that don't necessarily mean that we're operating under the law, if that makes sense. So we're not under the law, even though we obey his commands. We walk in the spirit, and we're not under the law, if that makes sense. I'll keep going.
Can I chime in on that real quick?
Yes.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
All right, so I believe what me and the other guy, what we were explaining to, you're speaking more on the biblical terms and people in the Bible. What we were speaking about are more like worldly terms of what we're going through now. So from what we were explaining or what I was trying to explain, probably didn't do it too well, was basically because the law, everything that goes on, sin, all the stuff that, you know, I named off earlier that's going on. And again, once you go into the Bible, once you start following the word, once you're baptized, once you are dead of that and, you know, reborn in Jesus Christ, then you're not under the same laws that everybody else unknowingly abides by in the world.
Yes,
that's
sir.
Basically what we're trying to explain.
Right. That makes
yes,
sense.
Sir.
That makes sense.
Amen. Everybody turn to Galatians, the third chapter. Thank you. I think we had a panel of experts tonight. Praise the Lord. Right? And let's define it. Right, Galatians, the third chapter. We're going to go to the 17th verse, and we'll read from there. We'll read probably down to 23 or 24. 17 through 24. When you have it, say amen, please.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
All right. So,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. So let me go back and explain this because this is important to us. The law were the laws that God gave to Moses. There were 615 of them. They're called the Deuteronomic laws. The laws in Deuteronomy where God gave specific command to Moses to instruct the people. And he did it for a reason. And you'll see this in here. He did it for a reason. And the reason that he did it was that the Hebrew Israelite nation spent 400 years in Egypt, 400 years under their gods, being told this is how life goes. In fact, they had been there so long, and you'll get this if you know your Bible, they had been there so long that they had forgotten who their God was, but their God had not forgotten them. That's why he told Moses, the cries of my people have come out to me. 400 years. They don't even know who God is. How do I know that? Because when Moses goes into the desert and he walks up to a burning bush and then he begins to talk and the bush begins to speak back, and we know that's God coming through the bush. He begins to talk back and he told him, go back and free your people, Moses. Go back and free the people. Their cries have come out to me. What they've been going through is unacceptable to me. Now I'm going to flip the script just a little bit and put us in the picture. 400 years in America, we've picked up the ways of our oppressors. Some of us don't know our God. We're coming back to know our God. And God is doing that because he is a God of justice. Now watch where I'm getting ready to go. And the first thing he does when Moses leads the people out, Moses don't know who he is, because Moses says to him,
who shall I tell them sent me? And that's where we get the famous scripture, I am that I am.
And I am.
But when you go back and look that up in the Hebrew, it means Yahweh sent you. I am Yahweh is my name. That's what he said. Their translation from the Hebrew and the Greek into the English turned it into I am, because Yahweh means I am. I am everything that you need. I'm your bread in the morning. Hallelujah. I'm your bread at night. I'm the one listening to the tears and wiping the tears from your eyes on the pillow at night when you're crying through some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the one that is going to give you the water when you're thirsty. I'm going to pay the rent when you need us. I'm going to open up windows and pour out blessings that you ain't going to be able to receive. I am. I am the bright morning star. I am your hope. I am the one that formed and framed the stars in heaven. I am. I'm all of that. And I'm more than that. And it's funny for us as believers. Sometimes our belief in God, this is why he tells us we have to have faith, because our belief in God is so limited, we want to believe God for the one little thing when he's everything.
Hallelujah.
So he tells Moses, go back and tell the people, I am. He became the 10 plagues that plagued Egypt. He became whatever was necessary to get his people free. And I said, I was going to flip the script, because right now, the first thing that we have to do as a people is move back into the proper moral value with God. That's why he gave us his word. So we move back into proper moral value, which is what the law was for.
Yes.
Now let's read Galatians. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Galatians.
Amen.
3.
Amen.
Here we go. Verse 17. Watch this. Here's what he says. This is what Paul writes in the book of Galatians. He's talking to the community. That's why it's called Galatians. It's not made, it's not named, it's not written to a person. It's written to the people. It's important to catch that when you read Bibles. Most, when you read your Bible, a lot of them are made out to people. Sometimes Paul was addressing the nation. He's addressing the nation. He says, and this I say, verse 17, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ was the law, which was 430 years after he becomes the new covenant. He cannot disannul that it should make the promise of Christ of no effect. What did he just say? He said, every mistake you made didn't take and cancel the promise of Christ. He said, every lie you told, it didn't cancel the. I wish I had some believers. He said, every time you kind of wrote some stuff on your tax report that wasn't quite true, it didn't disannul the promise in your life. He said, every time you ended up with some man that you wish you'd have never met, the promise is the promise. That's why faith becomes so important to us as believers, because without faith, it becomes impossible to please him. And I slip back into a lawful mentality. It's about my works.
Amen.
You get it? Lord. Everybody heard that?
I heard it.
Or else the promise will be of no effect. For what? Verse 18, for if the inheritance came from the law, it is no more a promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise, so he had to live by it, and everybody behind him had to live by it until Jesus came.
Man.
Verse 19, wherefore then serves the law? It was added only because of one thing, transgressions. Now watch, everybody got that? Transgressions.
Yes. Mistakes.
Issues. It was only added because they had all these transgressions in them. Why? 400 years of not knowing God, they had picked up the same morality and same moral values as their oppressors. And so they didn't know how to love each other no more. Okay, can I help me, Jesus? They didn't know how to love each other anymore. They didn't trust each other anymore. They saw each other as being downtrodden because guess what? I'm a slave, you a slave, and you ain't no better than I am. And you can't be any smarter than me. And there's some folks right now that have that issue because it's generational. that you need to break the curse and tell that mess to get out of here. Learn how to trust your people again. Learn how to love again. Learn how to be at peace again. Learn how to be happy again. Learn to have joy again. Because he came to dissolve all that mess.
Yes.
And so
yes.
when you go back to the Old Testament, the only thing that they could do to disannul their sin was to bring bulls, goats, turtle doves, and lambs to a slaughter. And they would bring the blood and say, hey, kill that, and bring it to the Levitical priest, to the high priest, and say, please, you know, pray to God that my sin is forgiven. And though the sin would be forgiven, the guilt still remained.
Mm.
Let me try it again.
Help us.
Though the sin was forgiven, the guilt remained. Why? Because the sin remained a part of the way I thought. Because I did not have a promise that said, when I wiped it out, I wiped it out.
Amen.
So if I felt bad 6 weeks later, even after I just sacrificed the bull and the goat, and the high priest forgave the sin and brought it before God, if I felt bad 6 weeks later, what did I do? I'd run back to the priest and say, hey, try a turtle dove, because don't seem like I'm feeling any better. This will mess you up in a minute. It's going to mess you up in a minute, but it's going to bless you up in an hour. Here's the mess up. Many of us are running back to the pastor saying, Pastor, can you pray for me again? Pastor, can you pray for me again? Pastor, would you pray over this? Pastor, would you pray over that? And you're not accepting by faith that whatever you are asking somebody to pray for, one, you can pray for it yourself. Two, he's listening to you just as much as he's listening to his pastor.
Amen.
Three, there is no great new anointing in the earth. The anointing is the anointing. And if you hear, you got one, you better start using
it. Got it. All right.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
The
Hallelujah.
Law could relieve guilt. It's in your Bible. I'll take you there if you want to go there. It couldn't relieve the guilty consciousness. And what he's telling us is to relieve your guilty consciousness. Some of us have been bad parents. That's who you were. That is not who you are. Relieve your guilty conscience. Some people are still suffering from children coming back and saying, Mama, you had a baby at 16, so I had a baby at 16. You can't say nothing to me because of what you did. Yeah, that was the old me. But the Bible says if any man or woman be in Christ, old things passed away, and that man or woman is a new creature.
New creature.
You need to stop agreeing with the guilt that your children throw at you and start agreeing with the word that God is putting in you. And all you have to do is say, yeah, that's who I used to be, and you're dead right, but that ain't who you will be. Get that mess out of here.
Amen. Anybody hear this? Yes. Amen. Because I certainly
have to go back to my kids and say, listen, we need to talk because I know what I was.
Amen.
And you saw me being what I was. But I ain't that no more. So we're going to sit back and we're either going to come together as a family and heal together, or you're going to get really frustrated because I ain't going for what I used to go for. And you will think I do. And when you come through the door with some mess, I'm going to have to tell you to get the mess out of here. It's got to go.
Period.
Am I talking to anybody tonight?
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Yes.
So he goes on to verse 19. He says, wherefore? Then serve the law. It was added simply because of transgression. Still the seed should come to what? To whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, and then he explains something about Christ's death. This is very important. Now, mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is the one.
Amen.
Well, now, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid, for if there had been a law given which could have given life to people, very righteously should have been by that law. It was to bring them out of a moral decay. And that's why God gave them law. I can't give them the promise yet because they won't act like I need them to. And so he gave them 615 laws and said these laws will help them to come back to knowing me. Amen. So as a people, glory to God, 400 mm-hmm. years of what we've been through, we have to grow and discern, just like Brother Latif was saying, man, what came along with me, even out of my generations,
yeah.
that I need mm-hmm. to turn over to God so I can get that generational behavior out.
Mm-hmm.
Generational behavior mm-hmm. has to go. So I can be formed on the potter's wheel as a new creature. Because when the generational behavior goes out, ain't nobody in my house coming in here with a baby at 16.
Mm-hmm.
Not again.
Yeah.
When the generational behavior goes, why? Because I don't believe in it no more. It's not acceptable anymore. Because I know that the promises of God are going to cover my children. They're going to cover my family. Just as our sister started off, Sister Jewel, with her prayer, it's going to cover my nieces, my nephews, my seed,
Amen.
And my seed, because
Amen.
Just like generational curses passed down through the family, so does the generational promise.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
Amen.
I didn't lose anybody, did I?
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
The generational mm-hmm. promise will too, but I have to move with the promise. And I say that because, and I've shared this with people before, I got saved in 1997. Before I got saved, I was wayward. I was out in the street. I did drugs. I boozed it up. I bruised it up. I had women. I had everything. Nothing was off limits except maybe some homosexuality. I wasn't for that. Never been for it. God ain't have to deliver me from it. Praise the Lord. But all that other stuff, who you could cheat, who you could beat, who you could lie to, who you could use, that the ends justified the means, I was all that. Mm. And then I got delivered. And when I got delivered, all the people that knew that I was all that, they couldn't wait for me to fall.
Mm-hmm.
I hope I'm talking to somebody.
Wow.
They couldn't wait
for
me to
And
it's funny. This is so funny because I want to share this with everyone on the phone. When you say the word Jesus, somebody say Jesus. I want to hear
Jesus.
It.
Jesus.
Yes, I got a couple people. I need everybody. Say
Jesus.
The word Jesus.
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 Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. When you say the word Jesus, watch what I'm getting to say, please.
Yellow.
Satan makes you a superstar.
Mm-hmm.
When you say the word Jesus,
glory.
Satan begins to make you a superstar. And I'm not talking about the kind with a guitar and a lot of money. I'm not talking about that kind of superstar. I'm talking about a person that becomes the object of everybody's attention so that the minute you do something wrong, they can say, see, God ain't real. That's why you became a superstar. Before you were saved, they were patting you on the back, even if you were selling drugs and saying, yeah, but you really take care of your kids, man. I get it. You know, I know you're doing that, but man, look at how you use that money to take care of your family. You bought your mama a house. You did this. See, it's funny when you unsaved, people will find any good thing about you to talk about. When you become saved, people find any little bad thing about you.
Come on.
Yes. She says the promise.
Amen. Amen.
So it's important to know. You've been made a superstar, whether you like it or not, and that's why he says for us to be good examples one to another, because you're a superstar. Everybody's watching you. You said Jesus. Everybody's looking. They may not even, they may have their head turned the other way from you, but they're still watching you. They may not even come over to your house, but they're watching. See, they're waiting for the phone to ring and somebody to tell them, yeah, you know, Sister So-and-so, she's running around talking about Jesus and all that. Yeah, man, she just, man, her man just beat her half to death. They can't wait.
They're waiting.
I know I'm talking to somebody in here.
Yes, sir. Come on.
So that's what he's talking about. He's trying to enlighten us on these things. Let's keep going. So he says, verse 20, now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is the one, right? Mm-hmm. Is the law then against the promises of God? Nah, God forbid.
For if there had been a law given which should have given life to people, very righteousness, right? The verily righteousness should have came through the law. But keeping rules don't make you holy.
Come on.
But the scripture had concluded that all are under sin and that the promise is going to have to be by faith of Jesus Christ. So that it might be given to them to do what?
To believe.
Amen.
Your belief. And I love that somebody started off today talking about doubt.
Amen.
To them that believe, don't doubt them.
Yes.
Verse 23, Amen. But before faith came, we were kept under those laws. Everything was about our actions. Somebody in the world called it karma. Karma. That's another word for the law. If you do good, good will come to you. If you, you know, if you do nice things for people, somebody will do nice things to you. Now, let me share that. Everybody good tonight? Y'all all right tonight?
Yeah.
If you do karma, if you do good, then some of that good will come back from the universe and come on you. Well, that has some truth to it, right? That has some truth.
Amen.
However, watch what I'm getting ready to say to you. If you are a believer, it ain't going to be about how good you are. It is going to be about the favor that God is willing to show you. You ain't going to need 5,000 people to love you no more. That's why some of them hate you.
Come on, Jesus.
That's why you got to hate you. Because, you know, God is trying to tell you, you don't need 5,000, you need one. And I'll send one blessing into your life. And that one person will be the doorway to your new house. He'll be the doorway to your new degree. He'll be the doorway to your new job. He'll be the doorway to your new circumstances. That is the reason he's giving us this. So we begin to walk in and understand beyond a shadow of a doubt, this ain't about my works. This is about my faith.
About your faith.
Amen.
Watch what he says in verse 23. But before faith came, we were kept under those laws, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed through Christ. Verse 24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified through our faith. Everybody got that? We're going to go back to Romans. But I want to make sure, did everybody get that?
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yes.
Any questions about it?
No.
So let's go back to Romans, Brother Tavon. So I'm going to ask a question. Why do you think Satan continues to attack you then?
Why do you think Satan what?
Continues to attack you. Anybody want to take a shot at that one? Why does he continue
to
attack me?
Yes, I would love to get started at that one. He continues to attack. God bless you, everybody. Hello. He continues to attack you. Thank you. Because he sees that you're on a faith walk. If he can't shake you and pull you off that walk and make you turn around, you think he had so many people for so long, you think he wanna let you go? Oh no, he don't wanna let you go. He wanna keep you where you at. Keep you sad, keep you down, play with that mind. Because that is his playground. And if he can do that, then he's doing his job. But you tell him you wanna turn to God and you wanna do what? Let me go. Are you serious? No, you ain't going to. That's Satan. I'm Satan. Let you go. No.
Amen. Amen.
Everybody else, thank you, sister. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
I want to say something.
Yes,
just like the book of Job, when the devil tried to take him, and he still had faith in God because he wanted to show that God was who he believed in and what he wanted to believe. Job lost everything. He lost his child. Lost everything that he had, lost everything, but he still had faith in God. And in the end, Job won because he still believed in God. And God said, "The only thing you can't do is kill him."
And
cannot break your faith if you believe in God. No matter what somebody throw at you or what happens, if you believe in God, it's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
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 Say it again. It's going to be all right.
Yes.
All right.
Hallelujah.
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 Anybody else? The question is, Satan knows that God has you. Then why does he keep attacking you?
I feel like it's a lot more simpler.
Okay.
I don't know. I just feel like it's just because, like, you know, God has you now and you're on his path. And I feel like Satan's just like, all right, so you're clearly special. I'm going to have to test that now.
Mm-hmm.
Because God has you and has a plan for you, so now I got to see what that is, because I've been watching you since you were a child and all, and planning your whole destruction, but now you're in God. I'm like, okay, then that's when that's when things start getting different, the playing field starts changing.
All right, keep your blessing.
He is serpent. He has a snake in his grass, trying to get his hands on any way he can. Get his hands on whatever he got going.
Absolutely.
In the grass.
Amen.
trying to pray on your downfall.
Try to
gain power for that, with that your downtrodden is success. I guess. Yes.
To reign over your success. Hallelujah. Anybody else want to take a shot at this before we get a little bit more in depth with the answer? Anybody else?
Yes, I would like to say this. The thing about here in the earth, this is Satan's playground, you know. But the thing about it is, with all the tests and the temptations that a man goes through.
Oh, my Lord.
Once it's passed, it's a promotion. And it's for the glory of God, that God is glorified in it. Mm-hmm. So I believe we were tested or tempted by the devil for a promotion in the glorification of God. And God's presence and power can be known, because he has no power for a person that knows that nothing Christ. So it's automatic victory, and God will be glorified.
Yes.
So all these tribulations and trials and challenges are going to come. But to know that we have victory, God will be glorified, and we can bring more people to life.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
All wonderful answers. Let's go a little deeper, right? Let's go a little deeper. Everybody know the scripture we quoted it today? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he.
Yeah.
Anybody catch that?
Yeah.
So the purpose of the attack is to take you off the track, like Brother Tavon said. But the only way he can take you off the track is through your own doubt. So the purpose of the attack is always to create doubt in you. The reason that you'll be sick is because Satan is trying to implant doubt. Because I prayed and asked God to heal me of this thing and get this thing away from me, and here it is 2 years later, I'm still fighting with the thing, and I'm going, does God hear? Am I a sinner? Does God care about me? That doubt. But I'm saying, get that mess out of here.
Get it
out of
here.
Toss that doubt out. Praise the Lord. So that becomes very important. The attacks are to create doubt, because doubt is the only thing that can stop you from becoming what God has called you to be. If I wake up in the morning, here's an example. If I wake up in the morning and I say, man, I'm getting ready to go start me a business. I'm getting ready to go start a business, man. I see it so clear. I got three cars in the house. I'll do a driving a car delivery business. I'll just do that. Praise the Lord. And that vision comes to me. oh man, here I go, and I jump in and I start calling some people, asking do they need deliveries, and I do all those wonderful things, and I get two no's. A lot of people give up on those two no's.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doubting the vision God gave me.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be
out the vision, and then what happened? My doubt stopped me. God was the one who was encouraging me. All vision, if I may say this, all vision comes from God. Good vision, of course. All good vision comes from God. The problem is we don't realize the devil hangs out in the details. And so we don't do the detailed part to make sure that we stop Satan in the God part. Anybody got it? Amen. So doubt is what he's trying to create. Let's go back to Romans. And I want everybody to write this word down, please. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Write these next two words down. We got we understood the word moth and the word maveth. We got that. Now I want you to write down the word cardia. Please write it down. C-A-R-D-I-A.
C-A-R-I-D-A.
D-A-R-D-I-A. And then I want you to write next to that the word cardia, K-A-R-D-I-A.
What's the other word?
Cardia. Cardia. Same word, spelled a little different. K-A-R-D-I-A.
K-A-R-D-I-A.
Right. So
the word cardia, what was the first word? I'm sorry.
The first word was cardia.
No, the first one that you gave them earlier, it was
M-U-T-A.
M-U-T-A, okay.
Yes, the Hebrew word for death, to end, right?
That
and
means.
Then the word
Maveth,
M-A-V-E-T-H.
M-A-V-E-T-H.
That means death by separation from God, so you're not connected.
Okay.
Right? And the Bible uses that word death a lot, but a lot of times it's not talking about a physical death. That's why Satan got away with what he did when he told, when he sat back and spoke to Eve and he said, "Did God say on the day that you eat from that tree, you go surely die?" She said, "Yeah." And he said, "Well, God's lying," because he was playing with words. And that's important for us too, because a lot of times you got to listen real good because people are playing with words over your life and you don't hear them. To disseminate the words they're using and say, what does this person mean? Forget about what they said. I don't care what you said. What I care about is what you meant. That's why God is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. There's some people who don't say things like, "I don't know how to pray." You don't need to know how to pray. You just need to know how to talk to God. Because the minute you talk to God, the Spirit discerns what's in your heart. That's why he said he knows what you need before you ever ask.
That's right. Amen. That's right.
Amen. Now, we got the word cardia, right? And cardia, right?
Yeah.
We're going to find out what those two things mean. Here we go. We were back in the book of Romans.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Brother Savon, you know where we left off?
We left off in
at the 20th verse. Romans 20.
Okay.
Romans the 6th chapter, and we left off at the 20th verse.
All right, let's go back to 15. Pick up from there, please. Thank you, Sister Deborah. Thank you so much. Let's
15.
Go back to 15, please. Mm-hmm.
Verse
everyone,
15.
Please. 15.
15, right?
Uh-huh, 6th chapter, 15 verse.
Oh, no, that's Romans chapter 5.
Six.
No, we're in six now.
Okay, mm-hmm. And which verse?
We're going to the 15th verse.
The 15th verse. Got it.
Yeah, we talked about sin no longer has dominion over you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Verse 15.
Amen.
Amen.
What then? Amen. Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace?
Mm-hmm.
God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness.
Did he just say you're going to serve one master or the other?
Amen.
Yes.
I think that's what he said. Whomsoever you yield your members to obey is whom servants you are to obey. That's important to us, I think, as the body of Christ, because a lot of times you can be in church and people are doing some things, saying some things, treating you certain ways, and you don't think that God's people can sin.
And
that's the biggest humor that ever existed. Because whomsoever you, and that members means your mouth, your ears,
Man.
Your eyes.
Yep.
So if you hold the door for a woman walking in the church, and she looks at you and goes, oh, wow, a well-mannered young man. But if you're staring at her behind when she walks through the door, whose servant? Amen. Praise God. Does that happen? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So it becomes important to understand my intention goes along with my members. And if my intention is not pure, if I'm not doing the right thing for the right reason, my intention becomes sin. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. And that is the reason that he gave us the gift of repentance, because we can all make those mistakes.
Sure.
We can all. But the promise is, I can say to him, Father, I'm sorry, that intention wasn't right. Please forgive me.
Amen.
It's done.
Amen.
It's wiped out.
Yes.
You don't have to live in the guilt consciousness. You don't have to sit back and think of yourself as a wretch anymore. You now are free from all of that negative thinking over yourself. And some of us have not even learned how to give ourselves a break in life yet. We think we angry at anybody else. Some of us are just so angry at ourselves, we won't even let ourselves prosper.
Mm.
Praise God. God is saying, get that mess out of here.
Yeah.
Yes.
So verse 17, we're going to talk on this one so I can explain cardia and cardia. Verse 17, sir.
Verse 17.
Mm-hmm.
But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you, being then made free, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness.
Amen. Everybody got that?
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
I got one amen. I got two amens. Amen enough. Here we go.
Yes.
So, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart. Watch this. So there's a scripture in the Bible where Paul says this. He says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from myself?
Mm-hmm.
He goes on to talk about those things that I would not do. I find myself doing those things that I would do are the things that I don't do. And then he goes on to say, ha, he says, so with the body, I serve sin. But with the mind, I serve Christ. Everybody remember that scripture? You know that scripture?
Yeah.
Now let me give you the definition of cardia and cardia. So the word cardia, C-A-R-D-I-A, everybody got that? Cardia, C-A-R-D-I-A. It is the word that you hear when you go to a cardiologist. He's a heart doctor. They're talking about an organ. The organ in your body called the heart. The thing that we as people associate to the heart is our feelings. So we can tell people I love you with all my heart. My heart ain't in. We're talking about emotions. Let me tell you what the word came from originally. It came from the word cardia, which is the Greek and Hebrew word that's not about the heart. It's about more than that. the word cardia means your, it means with the heart, it means with your mind, it means with your willpower. It means with your emotions, and it means with your physical body. So when the Bible was talking about the heart, he is talking about your entire soul.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I don't just serve him by being in love with him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm serving him by giving him all of me.
That's right.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if I don't know the difference between cardia, my heart and my feelings, and mm-hmm. cardia, my entire being, mm-hmm. then I find myself sometimes confused. And that's why Paul could say what he said. There are times I make some mistakes with my body. Oh, but my mind. So the word cardia is the entirety of the mind, the emotions, how you control your members. That's why he said, to whom you yield your members to obey, this to whom servant you become to obey. It talks about all of the different elements that make you a human being. Amen. Anybody get that?
Amen.
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 So this word cardia, when he says, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart. He's saying there's times that you, watch what I'm going to say, that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And we'll think because the flesh is still weak, I'm not saved. And God mm-hmm. is saying, get mm-hmm. that mess out of here.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
The promise is the promise.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Until we all come to the obedience of Christ. That means there's a process going on in my life. I have to trust the process. I have to keep moving toward the process. I have to learn that I got to do the right things for the right reason. Not because my cardia, my heart feels good about it, but because mm-hmm. my cardia, my whole soul feels good about these decisions.
Amen.
My whole soul feels
Amen.
Good.
Amen.
That's
my
good.
Says
that's
Amen.
Good.
Everything is for me is collaborating with God and saying, yeah, I can do this because I got some control and I know Satan ain't gonna trick me with it. How many of
Amen.
You have Satan tricked your heart? Your cardia, you know, that organ part, that emotional part. How many of us have been tricked from the heart? How many of us have been tricked in our life? That you really, when you grew up and got a little wiser, you were going, oh, my God, what did I do? Your cardia,
mm-hmm.
and not your cardia, was involved. Yes. And he's the mm-hmm. God of your cardia, not your cardia. It ain't about your heart.
Yeah.
It's about your mind, your soul, your willpower. It's about all those things that comprise and make up what we call the soulish man. Everybody got it?
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
All right, so verse 18, we're almost through.
Bring then made free, being then made free from sin, ye became mm-hmm. the servants of righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh.
Mm-hmm.
For as ye have yielded your members, servants, to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity. Even so now yield your members, servants, to righteousness, unto holiness.
Hallelujah.
For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were made free from righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are? Now ashamed.
Uh-huh.
For the end of those things is death.
Mm-hmm. So let me go touch that. Everybody get that?
Mm-hmm.
He's saying the tree is known by the fruit that it bears. Look at those things that stuff caused. We start seeing that stuff, and we're going, we don't want that anymore, and we start becoming servants of righteousness. Go ahead, brother.
But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit mm-hmm. unto holiness and the end everlasting
mm-hmm.
life.
Mm-hmm.
For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus and the fig tree.
Is that word we use that is the separation from God. And a lot of times we're letting Satan convince us that that one mistake that we made through the day has separated us from God. I had someone say to me the other day, I've been praying and I just don't feel God. I said, oh, really? I said, and what has God been all about your feelings? Because you're loving him from your cardia, your heart. And so if you don't feel the relationship, you don't believe the relationship. This is about a promise and faith. It is not about a feeling and a kneeling.
Amen.
Every time I get on my knees, if I ain't feeling the presence of God, I'm thinking something's wrong. Ain't nothing wrong. God just ain't in the mood to talk to you right now.
Can I ask what help you with that?
There's people in hospitals that are talking to him. There are people that are being starved to death in different lands across from America that he's talking to. There's a lot of folk that God talks to. If we ever even took a moment, one moment, how many spirits go up every hour on this planet, you wouldn't be so hung up on the fact that he didn't answer you in 10 minutes.
Amen.
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 Pastor, real quick.
Yes, sir.
It's 5 after, right? I got to go in here to this men's room.
Yeah, at the meeting.
I just wanted to say I'm out of here for now, and I'll see you guys next week. Thank you.
All right, brother. We love you.
Love you, too. Have a good night.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Have a good night.
Good night.
Yep. Good night. Open.
Hallelujah.
So what did you receive out of tonight? Did anybody get anything that they didn't know? Did we learn anything?
Yes.
No, I just want to add to that too, about the people that are like, you know, oh, when I pray to God, I don't feel anything. I ended up learning something that put my heart at ease, so I understand that God is listening to me. What was that scripture, Pastor, about when you pray, it's like an incense and it goes into like a golden cauldron or something? Or you know what I'm talking about?
Yep, book of Revelation, chapter. Yep.
Yeah, so that right there is what gave me peace. I'm like, God hears me. He ain't going to answer me. That's fine, but it's all being there. It's there. He knows. He hears you. He does hear you.
Amen.
Sister Jewel, I saw you light up the screen. You were getting ready to say, did you learn anything tonight?
Yes, I did. Some years ago, I used to study with Jehovah Witnesses, right? And you... Something that I've been saying, but you clarified it better for me on tonight, right? Because they have this thing that they used to say about only the pure in heart is going to see God. But it to me, they made me feel like they were talking about my heart, the heart that pumps blood, right? And but with me, I'm thinking as a man thinking, so is he, right? So I said, man gave us the names of our limbs, right? I said, you can't make me think that God is talking about the heart that pumps blood and not the one that holds the thought of good and evil. So this cardia helped me a lot. It helped me out a lot tonight, and I just want to say I got it and thank you.
Praise the Lord! Thank you, Sister Jewel.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah!
Anyone else? It helped me too with the words that we learned. You know, even when we say like out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So, you know, taking stuff to heart or just using it to, and basically what you just described is that is just surface. That's just the surface of it. But the cardia is where it's deeper than that. You know, it's with our whole spirit. You know what I'm saying? And it's not stopping with the heart. It's with our whole spirit, with everything in us. You know, people say, I love you with all of my heart, you know, and now you look at that in a different aspect of
just being surface. Or, you know, like if some people be like, oh, I love you, and but sometimes you get into situations where you say love ain't enough, you know, because it's deeper than that when it comes with you putting your heart, mind, your body, and your soul into it. Because
praise the Lord. Yes,
sometimes
ma'am.
Love just ain't going to work, you know.
Wow, that was powerful.
Yes.
With all of the sisters that we have on the line, be mindful of what you just heard. Because what people are saying to you is, I love you with all my heart, they mean, I love you with a lot of emotions. What you're looking for is when the Bible says, when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing and favor from the Lord. The man ain't gonna never get favor if he doesn't love you with his willpower, if he doesn't love you with his intentions. He may not bring you flowers, but you can tell when you got somebody that wants to bring you flowers. He may not love you with all the things you ask for, but you can tell the difference between somebody that's bringing the whole paycheck home and a part of it. You have to know what cardia really means. The heart, the words are coming from what people have been taught to say. What God is talking about is with your very fiber and being.
Oh, no.
My wife is from cardia, not from my feelings. There's some folks that have had people that swore up and down, I love you, I'd die for you, but they'll beat you to death too. What kind of love is that? Praise the Lord. What
the
kind
Lord.
Of love is that? There's some men who have relationships, is it all right to talk like this? Ain't nobody upset or
Come on.
And they will be sincerely loving with all they will. And then the woman has been hurt by enough men that she doesn't know how to be reciprocating in knowing how to love from her cardia. And so he's frustrated because he's trying to do right. And she's still dealing with hurt from the past. That's why you have to let go of it. You gotta learn to love again. We have to learn to
Amen.
We have to learn to be at peace in God. We have to learn it. So that I can share it with somebody. Because if I'm not sharing those members to whom you yield your members to, if I'm screaming and yelling at my wife, I'm still losing. Amen. If every time something comes on and transpires between my wife, and it may even be a difference of opinion, and all I can do is yell and scream and tell her what she better not do because I'm the man of the house, I'm injured. I'm injured as a human being. And I haven't turned my cardia with the K because I turned my cardia with the C. And my is anybody getting this?
Yes, sir.
So much deeper than just what I feel for someone.
Much
this
deeper.
This means knowing how to do the right things for the right reasons.
Amen.
It may not feel good. It may not feel good. Maybe in my head, I still got a little bit of that old man in me. Maybe in my head, I want to take half my check and go buy me a new car. But if my cardia, K-A-R-D-I-A, is right, I'm taking that check and better my house. I ride a bicycle into the house. If my family is okay, I'm okay. If my family looks up to me and says, that's a dad, that's a husband, I did something right. I'm going to do the right thing for the right reason. And it came me out of my C-A-R-D-I-A because I got all these feelings about it. Because your feelings will lie to you. That's why the Bible says, out of the heart. Anybody want to finish that one? Anybody want to finish that one?
Out of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Yeah, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. But out of the heart also are the issues of our life. That's talking about the C-A-R-D-I-A. Out of the heart flow the issues of life. Because all my feelings are involved. But if I knew the difference between the heart, C-A-R-D-I-A, and cardia, K-A-R-D-I-A, then my cardia will overcome my feelings.
Amen. That's good. That's real good. I like that.
Praise the Lord.
A lot of folks don't know nothing about that. And I like it. That's powerful. I love it.
So, any thoughts, Sister Deborah, as we get ready to close tonight?
No. I just know that you got to be where God can use you, and you got to let God know, even in your prayer life, that you stand by His, you stand by His word. And how do you stand by it? You stand by it with faith. So I ask God to increase my faith, so my prayers will be strong to Him, and that way I don't have to wait no long time for Him to answer my prayers, because my faith is so strong. And that's what we got to be mindful of, that our faith is very strong, so that we, without doubting, so that we can go to God boldly. What the word said, we can go to Him boldly, and we can do that, and we don't have to worry about if he's going to answer. Like I heard you say, Pastor, it may not be today, it may not be tomorrow. And I heard the young man also say that, you know, he put it out there, but he wasn't sure what God was going to do with it.
But God is God.
Yeah.
It ain't nothing too hard for Him. So whatever you think you're dealing with, it ain't nothing too hard for God. It's just the God from KMU.
Yes, I'm grateful.
I'm grateful.
That even though sometimes we pray for things, He still have our best interests at heart. I can remember praying so hard for a certain thing that never came to pass. And if we just keep on living, you know, if we just keep on living and you just reflect back on when you were praying and, you know, asking for that thing and how bad you wanted it, and now this the very opposite, like, wow, you know me better than I know myself.
Yeah.
That's big. So, thank you so much, Sister Wanda. Sister Deborah?
I already spoke on it, Pastor.
No, I said Sister Deborah from Kankakee.
Oh, Sister Donna. That's okay. That would be me.
Oh, I'm sorry, Sister
Bell.
Wow, what?
Oh, that's okay. We're speaking on. Repeat that again.
Closing thoughts as we get ready to go out in prayer.
A closing thought. Oh, yes, no, just I thank God for everything. My closing thought, tomorrow He'll be let me see another year, so I'll be another year older. God willing,
praise
the same.
God.
Happy birthday, everybody. Just want to tell everybody that I appreciate each and every one of y'all for being here, helping me to keep my soul in check, and having God to just, when we pray and talk, just thank all of y'all for making me feel at home. That's all.
Yes.
Thank
Hallelujah.
You.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Brother Evans,
thank you, Lord.
Please close it.
Yes, sir. You know, I always enjoy myself when I come. It was kind of hard for me to get here earlier, you know, but I'm like, man, you know, Bible study is what I need. And I came and it made me feel a lot better, you know.
Hallelujah.
Hear the word and share the word with you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Sister Itina?
Okay. You know, I just wanted to say, this is what I got from this today. God is your source, right?
Amen.
Not your job, not your connection. Everything is simple source, and He provides it all. Trust in Him, and, you know, He'll supply you with all you need, and all you got to do is pray.
Amen.
Amen. And keep your faith. Amen.
Keep the faith. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Glory. Yeah. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank
Lord.
You. Thank you.
Yeah. Lord.
What an awesome ending word. Brother Dewan, anything you want to share?
I'm just love to be online every week and Wednesday. Yep. And love to be with the saints of New Covenant Church of Christ.
Amen, brother. Thank you, Brother Dewan. And we love you. And you are super faithful, and I'm so grateful to God for your growth. You've come an amazingly long way. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
If there is no one else, I'm going to have Sister Donna to close us out in prayer tonight.
Mm-hmm. All right. Father, we thank you. Thank you for all you're doing. Lord,
yes,
thank you for all you will do. Thank you for what you have done in our past, Lord, because without our past, Lord, we wouldn't know where we were today for our future. We thank you, Lord, for all that you are doing. Father, we ask that you just bless each and every person on this line, the houses represented, the ones that wanted to be here and could not make it, Lord. And we just ask you to continue to bless and keep us in the future so that we, Lord, can continue to come to this line and get your word, Father.
Yes.
That everybody know that they are well appreciated, Lord, and just keep your hands on us wherever we may go, Lord, throughout our week, throughout our days, and bring us back to the appointed time, appointed place at the appointed time. In Jesus' mighty name we praise and we thank you, Lord.
Amen. Everybody
amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
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 If you want to get a copy of the Bible study, you can go to the website. It is N as in Nancy. CCC Madison.com, and there's an audio file, and you'll be able to download it and actually listen to it and review. So, N as in Nancy, C as in Charlie, C as in Charlie, C as in Charlie, Madison.com. New Covenant Church of Christ, Madison.com. If you want to go to the website, you can download previous Bible studies, and I hope and pray that your heart is blessed. And I hope and pray that when we leave here tonight, you leave here with a mindset that you are living out of a promise, not of a law. You're not living because of how good or how bad you are. You're living because of how good Jesus is.
Yes.
Amen. Good night, everyone.
Amen.
Love you.
Pastor.
Good night. Yes. Love you all with the love of
Pastor Monroe.
Yes, ma'am.
I got a box for the fire victims on New Covenant gonna pick it up on Saturday.
Okay.
I don't know who else got boxes, but I know I got one that's ready, and it's gonna be in the it's going to be in the lobby of the building on Saturday. I forgot the time that Evangelist told me that.
She said it right now. She just came in. She said, what time?
I thought that we had agreed to like 10 a.m., but I'm going to look through my phone and see if
she
I can
said,
find
she said
the message.
10 a.m. was wonderful, Sister Deborah. 10 a.m. is fine, she said. Yes, ma'am.
10 a.m. is fine. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Great. Okay, well, then we will put the boxes in the lobby around that time. And you can ring the doorbell for me to let you in, buzz you in, or I'll do it from the lobby because I'll probably be out there in the lobby with the donations. Boxes.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right.
Or you have a moment. Text me the number of the doorbell that I need to ring.
Okay, I sure will. I can do that.
God bless you. You kept your word, sister. You came up with that, and you said this needs to be done, and you did it.
Thank you, Pastor. I thank God. I tell you, He's so real. My heart was heavy.
about that situation. But God is in control, and that's what I know. Yes, he is in control. So that's what the New Covenant Church is going to be blessed way beyond what anybody think or believe.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I cannot wait. I cannot wait to see all the blessings. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you all. I'm going to send you all that information. Thank you, Pastor.
All right, Sister Martina. Thank you so much.
All right. Okay,
love you, Brother.
Welcome.
Love you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Good night.